Praise the Lord, everybody. Anybody glad to be in the house of the Lord? Are you really? Are you ready? All right, wow. What a privilege and an honor it is for me to be here. Thank you to Bishop Bernard and the General Board and whoever else is responsible for me being here. Thank you so much. I'm humbled to be here today. Glad to be here as well as we turn to the book of Acts, chapter 5, verse 34. So thank you so much for your kind invitation. Good to have some of my people from Apostolic Tabernacle here on the front row in my personal cheering section with me. Amen. And also they're watching the feed back home, and it's always wonderful for me to have my wife with me here tonight, and she is well. Amen. So just excited. And posthumously, I want to give honor to my pastor and my bishop. Him and his wife have gone on to be with the Lord, but I honor him tonight, Elder Bill Yandris of Merced, California. And I am just excited and nervous and all that good stuff. So let me get on preaching before I make mistakes, all right? Acts chapter 5, verse 34, then stood they up one in the council, Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had a reputation among the people, commanded them to put the apostles forth a little space, said unto them, ye men of Israel, take heed to yourself what ye intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up Didius, boasting himself to be someone to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all as many as obeyed him were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away many people after him, he also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say, sorry, I lost my point. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men and leave them, let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it. Lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. And to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and they let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple, in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Amen. Just for a little while, I want to talk to you about when we say Jesus. It's all right. Don't catch your hand a little bit. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, something happens when you say Jesus. Something goes on. Something you cannot explain. Something the devil cannot control. Happens in the atmosphere. Shakings and movings. I'm starting to feel it already. They don't want us to say the name of Jesus. But we need to open our mouth and we need to proclaim it loud. There's only one name. There's only one God. There's only one faith. There's only one Lord. There's only one baptism. There's only one spirit. There's only one body. There's only one church. Somebody shout Jesus. You may be seated. Ananias and Sapphira was dead now. hands of the apostles. There were signs and wonders, and the multitudes came, and devils were cast out. People were healed, and they put them in prison. But the angel of the Lord let them out. They were brought before the high priest and the council. And here is where we pick up our text. Why was there a prohibition put on that name? Why was it okay to heal, but just don't say the name? Why was it okay to preach, but please don't mention that name? Why was it okay to perform miracles? They didn't have a problem with the healings. They didn't have a problem with the miracles. They didn't have a problem with anything. They just had one small problem. You have got to quit. You must cease saying that name. Maybe they knew something we need to get a revelation of. That something happens. A riot, a revival, a revolution, but something happens. The atmosphere begins to change. The environment begins to move. It transcends the expansion of the firmament. When you say Jesus, there is a rippling of... I thought I was in church. Don't make me come down there where you are. Maybe you don't understand, but something happens when you open your mouth and utter the name of Jesus Christ. Something moves in the atmosphere. Something shakes in the heavens. Something is disturbed down in hell when you call on that name. When you say Jesus, something moves in the natural world and something moves in the supernatural realm. When you say Jesus, the material world begins to move and the immaterial dimensions begin to sway at the sound of that name. When you say Jesus, the place begins to shake. There's no place you can go. There's no realm you can hide in. There's no dimension you can flee. But the power of that name cannot reach you. I wish I had an amen in the house. The book of Ephesians said, what is the exceedingly greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the workings of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above principalities and powers and mights and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in those worlds which are to come. Amen. The word world there is not cosmos. It does not mean material creation. It is eons. It means there is not a time. There is not a generation. There is not a society that will come up that this name will not have an effect in. It doesn't matter if it's the first church or if it's the last church. It doesn't matter if it's in heaven above or in the earth, but underneath the earth. There's no place you can go to hide from that name. There's no place you can run. There's no place you can flee. There's no place. No, are you hearing me? You can't hide from it. So that's why. Tone it down. Don't say that name. Causes us to look like right-wing extremists. When did the church become terrorists? I'll tell you when. When you say the name, you terrorize the... I'm trying to act dignified, folks.
You terrorize the devil. You terrorize sickness. You terrorize, oh yeah, I'm an apostolic terrorist. I'm loosing grenades in the name of Jesus. I'm loosing bombs in the name. For neither is there salvation in any other. Can I get an amen in the house? You need to understand something, friend. Something happens and is moving when we say Jesus. On the way here, we had to get up early in the morning, and so, as our custom is, since we're old folks now, don't normally get up early in the morning and drive, so we find a hotel close to the airport and stay there. As we drove up there, there was a man, his name was Tom. Now, Tom was an old school guy, because Tom looks at me and Tom says, "What's the word?" Now, see, you guys are Pentecostals and you don't know anything about the world, but I'm from the projects. And when somebody says, "What's the word?" in the project, the correct answer is Thunderbird. Only a few old school fools in the house. And then they would say, "What's the price?" And you would say 40 twice. It's an old school thing. And so when this young dude says to me, "What's the word?" I look at him for a minute now. He's about 4 or 5 cans deep into a case of beer or a 12-pack. He's yanking on the square. I'm sorry, wait a minute. He's smoking a cigarette. Forgot I got to interpret for the crowd. And he takes a long drag, blows it out, and says, "That's a good word." I said to him, "You better believe it's a good word." You didn't get it, did you? See, you lost. He asked me, "What's the word?" I said, "Jesus." Now, wait a minute. Here's a guy, 5 cans deep in a 12-pack, with a cigarette in his mouth, cussing with profanity and expletives, and he had enough sense to know when somebody mentions the name of Jesus, something good is about to happen. Bishop, I think that we have been so intimidated by our society that we are dumbing down. And now we want to say Christ. Oh, PTL, he is Lord. Wasn't it just Brother Woodard that said in that Old Testament time, they went around and went out of their way not to say the name? I'm fearing that we're doing the same thing. Because we want to be politically correct. I don't care about politics. You can't say Lord and get a devil out. You got to say. You can't say Father and have somebody get sick healed. You got to say the name. I wish somebody help me preach up in here. I said, you got to say the name. At the sound of that name, demons begin to tremble. I know it's unpopular. It's confrontational. The spirits of this age do not want to contend with the power of that name. So they are saying, whatever you do, don't say the name. Skirt around it. Use the proper pronouns. Use the substitutes. But don't say that name. Because, you see, you can say anything and there is no veracity. There is no power in it. You can baptize the way you want to. Just don't say that name. Because when you say Jesus, the water in the tank transforms. Sin has a fall off. Chains are broken. I wish I had a preaching church up in here. I said, chains are broken. Bondages are... Somebody help me up in here. When you call on that name, demons have got to flee. When you call on that... Let me get my composure. I'm sorry, excuse me. Just don't say that name. Say Lord. Say Father. Oh, I like this one. Heavenly Father. The man upstairs. The big guy. The boss. It's okay. After all, we don't want to be extremists or not politically correct in our society. Better for us to be dignified so we can be accepted. So it's okay not to say that name. Or when I say Lord, he know who I'm talking about. When I say Father, he knows who I'm saying. I think we're acquiescing to our society. We're closing our lips. We won't say the name anymore. Praise the Lord. We do all kind of stuff to skirt the name. But when I said to this half-drunk dude, he asked me, what was the word? I said, Jesus is the word, my friend. You didn't get that. Jesus. Don't make me break this down like a shotgun on you. I said, Jesus is. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And the Word became flesh. Jesus is. He is the Word. Tonight, we have the ability to understand that when we say Jesus, it causes phenomenon. It causes a chain reaction. A chain reaction is a sequence of events that causes other events that related and unrelated, product and not byproduct of that one event, to continue in sequence until it becomes a self-sustaining source. You say Jesus, it moves. Things have to happen. Angels stand at attention, pull off their sword. Demons shrink back into the dark place. They're not quite sure what's going to come out of your mouth next. When you say Jesus, it means attention. The angels go like, just give me some direction. Just tell me what you want me to do. I wish somebody help me now. Just give me some direction. That's why we say, in the name of Jesus, sickness be healed. Listen to me. Am I okay here? Listen. I go to an ICU, Brother Smith. My grandson is in there, Kalen. He is 1¼ pounds. His head is right here, and his feet is right there at the wrinkle. Well, that wrinkle right there is kind of hard to tell. I had my hairbrush today. Just kidding.
And so,
my wife's going to get me for that one. And so I look at all the stuff they let me in. So his O2 sats were very low. His cardiac arrhythmia was off. His pulse was down. They had needles everywhere and a tube in every orifice. So I did my 3-minute surgical scrub and I went inside the room. I didn't have any oil, so they had Johnson & Johnson baby lotion. I know. Honey, can I tell you something? Ain't nothing in the oil. Power is in. When you get baptized, ain't nothing in the water. Power is in the. I wish I had some help up in here. I thrust a couple of gloves on my finger for sterility's sake, and I pushed my finger into the incubator, which I knew I was not supposed to do, but I did it anyway. And I placed my finger on his head and I said, in the name of Jesus. And when I did, the machinery started beeping and going off. Red lights started flashing. Beep, 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 boop, 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 boop. They're all over the place. There was an RN behind the little nurse's desk and she was charting diligently. And when she heard all the machinery and all the monitors, she looked up and she came out. And she was coming at me like there's going to be a beatdown going on. So I'm got my finger in there and she's coming at me and I'm thinking like, girlfriend looks mad. And I'm thinking like, I ain't had the Holy Ghost that long, girl. You better slow your roll. She coming up on me like she finna. Girl, you better back up. You don't know me like that. You don't know me like that. And so my finger is still stuck in there, man. And all I got is Johnson & Johnson baby lotion. Now, honey, I don't know about you. I'll use anything. I'll use Royal Crown grease, olive oil, coconut oil, peanut oil. Girl, I'll use Pennzoil 30-30. As long as you say the name of Jesus, it'll work. I said, as long as you say the name of Jesus, it'll work. Say yeah. So I said, in the name of Jesus. And when I did, all those machines start pop, 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 pop. And she's coming at me and she started to skid. I said, girl, you just saved your life. She said, sir, what are you doing? I said, I'm praying. What are you doing? So she looked at all the machinery and said, wait a minute. Whatever you're doing, just keep on doing. I come to let the United Pentecostal Church know there's still power in the name of Jesus. There's healing power. There's delivering power. There's wonder-working power in. Somebody say yeah. Say yeah. Say. Boy, don't mess with me like that. You got to understand. It's unpopular today. It's controversial today. But we have got to keep calling on that name. You see, we're here tonight. And we're like the apostles in 17 of Acts. The Bible said that they said, hey, these guys that have turned the world upside down. And how did they turn the world upside down? With the name of Jesus. And if they could turn their world upside down, we need to turn our world right side up. Not too many amens on that. I still believe that it's a man and a woman standing up to get married. I still believe a man ought to look like a man and a woman ought to look like a woman. I still believe you are what God created you to be, and no surgical procedure can change that nature. I wish somebody help me preach right about now. I said no surgical procedure is going to be able to change what you were created as by God. I better watch it. I don't want to get in trouble. We're here tonight from different parts of America, different parts of the world, diverse cultures, multinationals, different descents, cultures, languages. And we all have one common blood and one common bond. And it is the name of Jesus Christ. Can I ask you now, shall we cave to the pressure? Shall we deny the only saving name? I'm not sure at what point of water baptism there is a chain reaction in the water. All I know that when my pastor was a white man. Y'all got quiet on me. Y'all still do know what white folks is, don't y'all? I wasn't sure. They told me don't go to that church. Bishop, you know what they told me not to go to the church? Because it was a white man church. I said, really? I said, you mean the church is white? Said, no, not on the outside. It's a white man church. I said, really? Okay. What make it a white man church? They couldn't tell me. So, Bishop, what happens is, whatever the dominant culture is, they don't want to break color lines. They don't want to break culture lines. But the name of Jesus obliterates all of that stuff. It's not a white church. It's not a black church. It's not a brown church. It's a Jesus name, one God, apostolic, blood washed. Brother Moody, my pastor, put me down in the water. He put me down in the water, and we were in revival, all kind of people, and he pushed me out, and I dove back in. He said, get out, son. I got about 3 steps, I dove back in, and I thought it was a swimming party, but boom, shakalaka. He says, you've got to get out of the water. Other people want to be baptized. And every time I brush that water, electricity would. I said, you don't understand, sir. You don't understand. I've did so much dope and stuff. You don't understand. But I ain't never felt nothing like this. What's in the water? He said, nothing's in the water, but there's power in the name. The blood death. It caused a chain reaction. I don't know about you, but my sins were washed away by the power of the name of Jesus Christ. And he's still the same today. Somebody say, Book of Hebrews says, we've been in the brightness of his glory and express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power. When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. We must understand that the power of God is released through the saying of his name. Now, he is able to do what you think, but at some point you must express what you're thinking. Y'all a little slow tonight, huh? Y'all just a tad thick, I can tell. Let me say that again. He can do what you think, but you got to get it out of your mouth. You must speak. You have not because you ask. You got to ask. You have to open your mouth. You can't think a devil out. You got to command him out. You can't think sickness out. You got to command it in the... I want somebody to help me preach now. You got to command it in the name of Jesus. Because something happens when you say the name. Let me hurry up. Listen, my wife. What's my wife? Stand up. Gorgeous. There she goes. We've been together 39 years. In 1982, she had cancer. I took her to a urologist, which was a friend of mine. And he says to me, he says, Sam, I hate to tell you this, but your wife has terminal bladder cancer. I said, terminal? Are you sure? He says, yeah, I'm pretty sure. She was plastering clots and blood and stuff. I says, okay, what can we do? He says, well, I'll have to remove her bladder and give her a bag. I said, okay. And then 6 months regimen of chemo and radiation, and then she'll die. I said, you got anything else for me, doc? That was on a Monday or a Tuesday. I can't remember. And so they set her up for preoperative measures, you know, chest x-ray, CBC, UA, all the stuff that they do for pre-op and then surgery. So on Wednesday night, you know, when God never shows up to church. You know, boring Wednesday night where nothing really happens. You know, the service you miss every Sunday. You remember that one, you know. You know, Sunday morning, you can't, you know, they're all there. They're thick as thieves. Wednesday night, you need a search team. CIA, FBI. MICKEYMOUSE, you know. Took it to old Elder Bill. Ah, what a man of God. What a man, they don't make him like that anymore. I said, Elder, my wife is sick. I didn't tell him all the stuff the doctor told me. What was the use in that? He thought she was just sick from a little, you know, he didn't know. So he gently laid his hands on her head and said, in the name of Jesus. Watch now. When he did that, immediately her flood stopped and her plague was staunched. That was 1982, and there she sits. I'm sorry, but I still believe in the healing power. I'm sorry, you have come too late to convince me that God can't heal anymore. That there are no more miracles, that there are no more signs. I'm sorry, friend. There is still a miracle working God. There's still healing in the name of Jesus. There's still power in the blood. I come to let somebody know the blood still works. And so much that wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth. Oh, you know the rest of it. Somebody shout amen. I'm going to be 60 next year. I know. Happy birthday to me. No, just kidding. And I'm not really that techie. I got all kind of techie cats that work. Techie people. And they do all the techie stuff at the church, like, you know, church branding, demographics, marketing. I don't know what that stuff means. I just smile like I really know what they're talking about. Oh, yeah.
I got an iPhone. I know how to turn it on. That's about it. I got an iPad. I probably use it for like 1/8 of a quarter of 2% of what it's used for. That chick that talks to you, what's her name? Yeah, Siri. She think her name is Love Siri. I mean, girl thinks she's from the project. Like, can I help you? Yeah, do this. I don't know how to do that. I said, what you good for, girl? I'm sorry. I can't do that. Well, what you doing on my phone? Get off the phone. I swear that girl from U3 down the street from the project, right? Like, I can't do nothing. And I can't fire her. I'd like to. I was going to write me an app where the voices are like project, like, what you want, fool? I ain't doing it. Do it yourself, too. You paid this much money for the phone. You ought to be able to do something on your own. I don't. Oh, I got to have fun, y'all. Y'all just too tight for me. I am cool with the new school. I think it's cool. But you got to understand, after you brand your church, I don't get that. When I think of branding, I think of cows. And after you brand your church, you do your demographic, you do all your marketing, and the choir is sung, and the ushers have ushered, and the greeters have greeted, and all that stuff, you have still got one missing element. If we do all of that, and there is no anointing, you can do the Michael Jackson moonwalk on me all you want to. You do all of that and you don't have any anointing, and you got no authority, and you got no power, and you got no dominion in the spirit world. You ain't. Hey, I'm all for it. I want to be branded. I mean, well, I don't want to be branded, but you know what I'm saying. But I'm saying, friend, after you done preach your little sermon and they come to the altar, you've got to have a name. Now, maybe, Pastor Watts, maybe where they are, it ain't where I am. At AT, when they come to the altar, you can still smell crack on them. Their fingers are dirty. Their teeth are rotted out. Got potholes in their face. They look like Twiggy warmed over. They weigh about 80 or 90 pounds. We are the last stop. You need to understand something. Whitney Houston said, crack is whack. And honey, all my branding and all my demographics and all my marketing and all my lights and all my cameras ain't going to get the job done. I've got to have a hold of a name that's able to tell that spirit of crap, get off of her. Get off. Okay. Go ahead and do it, y'all. I got to be able to call on a name that will respond. I've seen heroin addicts come out of the water, still running blood out of the veins that they just popped, and get the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. I know you don't understand this stuff. I've been where there's demon-possessed people, and we cast them out in the name of Jesus. I done messed up some of y'all already, huh? I'm sorry, girlfriend. I'm old school apostolic. Y'all gave me this stuff back night. You gave me this stuff 33 years ago. Now you don't believe it. That's your problem. I still believe in the name of Jesus. I still believe in the power of the Holy Ghost. Let me close. All right, I'm preaching much tomorrow. Listen. You listen. Let me close with this. Listen to me. There he was just watching. This is old school, new school. Fiery chariot of the Lord, horseman thereof, old prophet was taken up The mantle falls lifelessly to the ground. The young man picks the mantle up. He didn't pick that mantle up, Bishop, and says, what am I going to do with this antiquated, out-of-date rag? It's not going to work for my generation. That is not what he said. As a matter of fact, if you read the scripture in 2 Kings, he tore his own garment up and said, I won't need this garment. I'm going to pick up that garment from the old school. And he put the old school garment with a new mindset. You're not hearing what I'm saying. And then he got a double portion of the Holy Ghost. Can I talk to some young preachers today? This ain't no time to be tearing up the old school garment and grabbing for something that has no virtue, that has no power, that has no veracity, that has no anointing, that has no authority, that cannot take dominion. My friend, you better grab a hold of a mantle that when you smite the waters, where is the God of Elijah? We got to take that mantle and say, where is the God of Urshan? Where is the God of Haney? Where is the God of Bernard? Be careful, young preacher. You don't tear up something you need. Be careful now. I said, be careful now. There are certain things that won't work without the anointing. That's why all the new school cats are getting rid of their altars. What do they need them for? They don't have an anointing on their life. I'm a life coach. You're an idiot is what you is. Church ain't no football game. Oh, did I hurt your little feelings? Well, hurt on, girlfriend, boyfriend, whoever you are. Hey, honey, I'm not a life coach. I'm a pastor. I'm a one God preacher. You don't need a coach. You need a preacher. You need somebody that's going to get you to heaven. You need an anointed preacher. You need an apostolic voice in your life. You need an anointed man.
I'm a life coach.
How you going to coach somebody's life if you can't keep your own life together? What are you telling me what to do? Especially when you don't even know what to do yourself. No, I'm not a life coach. I'm not a psychiatrist. I'm not a therapist. One was talking to me and I said, whoa, I don't know. I need you to hear what I said. I don't want to hear that. But you're my pastor, yeah, but I'm not your therapist. I don't want to hear that mess. I said, therapist charged $300 an hour. I said, hey, bring me $300, lay it on my desk. I'll listen to anything you want to say. I'm going to turn on my laptop and go on Facebook. I know what you're talking about, girl. Where are my $300? No. I'm not a life coach. I'm not a therapist. I'm a pastor. My job is to lead you to Jesus. He will fix it. You're not going to help me. I said, Jesus will fix it. It ain't my job to fix it. It's my job to get you to the one that can fix it. That one that knows how to fix. Are y'all ready now? Y'all ready? Are y'all ready? Because it really does us no good to sing about the name, shout about the name, holler about the name, preach about the name, and then just walk and go home. Now here's the deal. Watch what I'm about to say. Please don't anybody get offended. I don't mean this in a bad way. God never did design the church to have a handful of superstars.
God never designed the church for just a few to operate in the supernatural world. He designed it for you to know the power of the name that you possess. As a matter of fact, the word says, and they shall. Who are the they? Just the apostles? I don't think so. Because if that's true, then what is Philip doing? What is Thomas doing? What are they doing in Samaria? How are they casting out devils? How are they, y'all not getting this, how are they doing that if it was just for the apostles? No. It's for every spirit-filled child of God. Did I lose y'all? I'm sorry. Did I lose you? God, wait a minute. All right. And so much, Brother Bowen. How was Sammy? 15, 16 when he came in the house? 15-year-old son comes in. We didn't even know he was doing drugs. I think he was on meth or crack. Didn't even know. He was married. He had a kid. So he had to be older than that. He had to probably be in his early 20s. He took a little money and he was going to the store to buy Pampers and milk and ran into the drug dealer and spent all of the money for the Pampers and the milk and everything else he had on drugs. Distressed and distraught, he came to our house. I'm at work. My wife's at home. He knocks on the door, tears streaming down his eyes. Streaming. Now, he's 6'1". My wife is 5'4". So he's telling her his problem. She said, okay, we'll pray for you when we get to church. He says, no, you need to pray for me now. I cannot go another day like this. My wife stood up on her tippy toes, took her hand and said, in the name of Jesus. Wait a minute. The chains and the addictions, the shackles of drugs and sin fell almost audibly to the floor. And that's been 10 or 20 years ago. He has never been back to that. Mother, there's power locked up in you. Oh, I'm so glad you think so. Mother, there is power in your bosom right now. You need to grab your kid and you need to put your hands upside that big head and start praying in the name of Jesus. Some of y'all so afraid of that. Oh my God. I know, I hear you. What if it don't work? What if it does work? I said, what if it does work? I'll say it again. What if it does work? You got the power because you've got the name. My 5-year-old grandson named Brandon, I'm done. My wife is having a headache. I'm driving. She said, my head hurts. I said, Brandon, pray for your grandmother. 5 years old. He goes, in the name of Jesus. Boom, gone. If a 5-year-old child can do it, what is our problem? I believe we embarrass God. By simply not believing he is able to do what he says he's able to do. We put a limitation on him. We put a cap on his power.
We don't believe, so we don't pray. We don't believe, so we don't ask. We don't believe, so we don't know. We shout about, oh, unto him that is able to do. But we really don't believe it. So a couple of Sundays ago, I just got mean. I got belligerent. And I said, I am sick and tired of people being sick in the church. I'm sick and tired of people on pharmaceuticals. I'm sick and tired of people with pains in their bodies. I said, if I don't do anything, I get attacked. And if I do something, I get attacked. So since I'm going to get attacked anyway, I might as well step out on the platform of faith and see what God will do. And in the name of Jesus, I pray for a woman. I don't even know who I pray for now. I know my wife was had a gastro whatever reflux thing going on, and her count was over 200 or 300, and I just said, in the name of Jesus, and she fell out. I guess I must have hit a little bit too hard. They know me gently, I pray, in the name of Jesus, and the power of God. When we took her back to the gastroenterologist, she said, I don't know what you did, but all your deals are that you need 40 points within normal. They was about to send her to Stanford to work on her, but there is a power greater than Stanford, and there's a power greater than the I know, do y'all believe this stuff? Because I still believe this stuff. I'm sorry. I'm not trading this, friend. I'm not trading this for altars where there's no change. I'm not putting away my baptismal tank. I'm not moving my altar over to the side so I can grab a big crowd. I'm standing right here in the name of Jesus, declaring that there's a name that's above every name. So, let's see. Who has cancer in the building? Run to me now. Who has high blood pressure? Who has diabetes? Run, come on. Who has fibromyalgia? How do you say it? Fibromyalgia? I don't even know what it is. I can't pronounce it. But it's a disease that causes your body to hurt all over. Who has that stuff? You know what they call it? Who has arthritis? Who has pain in your body right now? Y'all moving awful slow. Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name, Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. We call him Jesus. Let all heaven and earth proclaim, kings and kingdom will all pass away, but there's something about that. Why don't you lift your hands up right now, begin to help. In the name of Jesus, tumors be melted in your body right now. Jesus. By the power of the name of Jesus. Jesus. I take dominion and authority over every sickness, over every disease, over everything. In the name of Jesus, I don't have to touch you, but believe right now, whatever miracle you need, by the power of the Holy Ghost.